The Orange FM.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who just called me from the TARDIS phone and told me he totally regrets ever starting this podcast, Adam Farmer.
That's a good one. I don't regret it. I mean, that might have been the future me, like 20 more episodes down the road, but at least at this point in time, there's no regret, which would make sense. It's the future me if it's on the TARDIS phone. Which means that I have a lot to look forward to. If I'm actually traveling with the doctor, I don't think I'm going to be doing the podcast with you. I'm sorry.
At least you don't have like a big monster in your closet that you're hiding.
No, there's just one under my bed that I still am freaked out about.
Well, speaking of being freaked out, lately I've heard that people are saying that Doctor Who is no longer suitable for children because it's too scary. Do you buy into this?
I don't know. I have a hard time thinking that it was ever. I know that we've kind of gone back and forth on this, kind of with what it looked like when we started watching the classic episodes. Could it have been intended for children? Were children just a little bit more sensitive to how things looked back then? So maybe it wasn't ever intended for children. Maybe it's more intended for families. I'm not sure. I don't know. I saw the same article, and reading through it, it kind of gave me a chuckle. I don't know if it's necessarily intended for children. I guess you have to define what a child is.
I think originally Doctor Who was intended for children, and I think even now a lot of the sensibilities of the show are still geared towards children. You know, some of the more goofy, cheesy elements, you know, definitely would appeal to children. I don't think Doctor Who is too scary for kids, although I will admit it can get pretty scary. But even when it gets scary, it's still, there's always this sense of lightheartedness that it doesn't ever get so dark that I think it would disturb a child. So I think it's kind of a little bit ridiculous that people are starting to say it's, you know, it's unsuitable for children. There may be other elements in the show that I think are less suitable for kids than the scary stuff.
Where would you draw the line? That's where I'm saying, like,
age-wise.
I think I need to define better, have a better definition for children. Like, to be truthfully honest, I'm not going to sit my 5-year-old down with me and watch some of the episodes of Doctor Who that have been coming up. Others, sure, why not? But some of them, I think the fact that it's not a cartoon kind of takes it just a little bit further. And I don't think I'd feel comfortable having my 5-year-old sitting next to me watching some of these episodes, especially where the hand comes out from underneath the bed. And I think that's that episode that kind of started this conversation. Listen, with the creepy creatures or creepy bed dwelling things and nightmares. That said, this most recent episode, I don't know. It would be a little bit harder to decide whether or not my 5-year-old would watch it for me. But maybe an 8 or 9-year-old? Sure, why not?
Yeah, definitely 8 or 9-year-old. And I think with, you know, it's kind of a case-by-case basis with kids, because all kids act different or are affected by things differently. So, you know, if you have a child that tends to get spooked by things and may have nightmares because of it, then yeah, maybe not put a 5-year-old or younger in front of Doctor Who, or especially certain episodes of Doctor Who. But you know, I think in general, even my younger children, I don't mind if they're in the same room. And typically, if they're younger than 5, they're probably not paying attention to Doctor Who anyways.
You know, right.
There's not enough colors, you know, not enough songs. So,
I don't know, because there are some episodes, though, that no matter how old you are, it will still have quite an impact on you. Blink, for example. I still have thoughts when I walk past a angel statue of some sort. They still kind of give me the creeps.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no question that it can be a scary show. So I guess I would just say that, be a responsible parent. If you have a child that tends to be afraid of things and you think might be affected by it, then, sure, don't let them watch it with you. But I think in general, it's still, I wouldn't say it's a kid's show, but I'd say for the most part, I'd be okay with my kids watching it with me. So listen, we just watched that episode recently, and there has been some, I guess, kind of polls online, kind of comparing it to Blink, and other things going on as well. But how did that pan out?
Yeah, it was really interesting because I know leading up to it, Blink, Listen, could it be the next one? We talked about it in our last episode. But they did take kind of just a really simple poll as far as between the two, which ones would you take? Blink versus Listen, which one was a better episode? Blink, not really surprisingly, came out on top. So 57% of the people polled said that they would still take Blink over Listen, leaving the 42% saying that they enjoyed Listen, which to me is the surprising part, how close they actually were together. I would say that I have the feeling that for the vast majority of fans, Blink would still take the cake as being the premier episode. You still have the 10th Doctor, you have Tennant, who I would say still holds a very strong place in people's hearts. You have the introduction of a modern classic Doctor Who creature monster that really still, like I mentioned before, still has that impact on people, still brings good memories when you think of those episodes. Versus Listen, new Doctor, not even sure if there was a monster introduced or not. But yeah, they were really, really close. Is that surprising to you, or am I just kind of off base here?
I think anytime you have a poll like this, it's going to be affected by the times. So obviously something like Listen being fresh in people's minds, and it's the current Doctor. So a lot of the people that may be even taking this poll, they might be people that never even saw Tennant as the Doctor. They may be people that jumped on the bandwagon with Smith. Maybe Blink means nothing to them. So I think because of the fact how long ago Blink was, and it might not be as memorable of an episode for a lot of these newer fans. And Listen is, so recent. It doesn't surprise me that it's so close. And you have to remember, Blink, although a iconic episode of Doctor Who, it didn't really feature the Doctor that much.
Not
It
at
was a
all.
Doctor Light episode, and so there's at least that kind of against it as well. It was kind of more of a side story, and it's really best known for introducing the Weeping Angels, but not necessarily a big, Doctor heavy story, so it doesn't surprise me.
So the same time that they took this, they took a couple other polls as well. Something that we discussed last episode, was there actually a monster underneath that blanket? Where do you think things fell on that?
This one surprises me. I see the numbers here. It looks like 61% of the people said that they did believe there was a monster under the blanket. And that just To me, that really surprises me because I don't know. I thought it was a clear cut, explanation to the story. The doctor, was imagining things. Everything was in his head. There wasn't anything dangerous out there. The only thing dangerous was the doctor's mind. And I thought that was pretty clear, but apparently not, because a lot of people still thought there was something else going on there. And maybe there is. Maybe I'll be wrong, and maybe like you were kind of speculating that there might be more to it, and they might come back to, the events of that episode, and there might be a little bit more of an explanation. I don't think that's the case. I think it was meant to be a closed-ended story, but
Yeah, I'm with the 61%. I do think that there was something underneath that blanket. And I think kind of from your explanation and even from the discussion we had last time, you would say that the 61% completely missed the entire point of the episode.
And
Because
you apparently.
yeah, and me apparently. I can't. There was something weird that happened when they all have their backs turned to the blanket, and then the blanket, there was something under that blanket. Now, okay, it could have been a kid, but that would have just been weird for it to be a kid. There's something else underneath that blanket. But hey, I am in the majority, but I will be humble about it and just say, you're probably right. We probably have, the majority of us probably missed the entire point of that episode.
I think that, I get what you're saying. When they pulled that blanket off, there was something there that didn't look human. For a split second, there was something. But in my mind, that was just Moffat messing with our heads. He was trying to make it seem like something scary. He never really showed us definitively what was under that blanket to keep the mystery going until the end of the episode with the big reveal that there was no mystery. So I think it was just kind of a play on his part and not necessarily a reveal that there was something under that blanket. So I'm sticking to it. We'll see. I mean, who knows? Maybe 3 seasons from now, they'll come tie that into to the 13th Doctor's finale or something. But, you know, nice. As of now, I'm gonna stand firm on that. People are reading way too much into that.
So one last poll that they took was a ranking of the episodes thus far. So by the time this poll was taken, there were only 4 episodes. Time Heist does not play into it. So we have Deep Breath, Into the Dalek, Robots of Sherwood, and Listen. What order do you think they fall in?
Oh, wow. I can tell you what order I'd put them in.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I would say that Robot of Sherwood, Listen. Oh, man. Into the Dalek? No, I'll say Deep Breath, then Into the Dalek.
Okay.
So does mine line up at all?
Not at all.
I didn't think it would. I didn't think it would.
So once again, this probably has to do with the proximity of the episodes. So Listen has taken the cake so far without Time Heist being put into the picture as being everybody's favorite episode. So it goes Listen, Deep Breath, which is the introduction of Capaldi. So I guess that kind of makes sense. Into the Dalek and Robot of Sherwood. So Robot of Sherwood so far is in last place for being in the ranking of the episodes when it comes to, which ones have been the best by voters.
Wow. Robot of Sherwood got last place.
Yeah.
Huh.
And
it's the most different. I will give you that. It is the most different than the other three. So if you're looking at it that way, it seems like people are enjoying the other types of stories more than the kind of go back into history story because it's by far the most different of the four.
For sure. And what they did is they've averaged out the ranking. So I guess if there were just a small group of people who gave it the lowest ranking, it would bring it down. And they're all pretty close together. So the average rankings, Listen, 8.918, Deep Breath, 8.282, Into the Dalek, 8.052, and then Robots of Sherwood, 7.5. So really, it's only below Into the Dalek by half a point. So it's not that big of a margin, but it is interesting to see how the episodes have fallen so far.
Well, last episode, we had kind of reported on a rumor that ended up becoming true before we actually published our episode.
So, don't you love it when that happens?
So if you listened to the last episode and it sounded like we were not in the know, was because it didn't get confirmed until after we had recorded the episode. But yes, Nick Frost has been confirmed. He will be in the Christmas special. So that is now no longer a rumor, but now truth.
That is truth.
So are you cool with that? It sounds like, I think we were both kind of cool with the idea of him being in it anyways. Have they given us any more details on like what type of part he's going to play or anything like that?
So there was a second part to the rumor last time we recorded, as far as what character he was going to be. It's very spoiler-ish, and I don't know even where the rumor has come from. So it could be completely off base. But someone has, should I even say it or should we just let it go? Should we drop a spoiler warning right here?
Drop a spoiler alert. I don't think it's that big of a spoiler, but drop a spoiler alert and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, so spoiler alert right here. Spoilers. Nick Frost, last time I saw, was rumored to be playing none other but the big jolly man Santa Claus. Ho ho she shaw.
So is this kind of like he's playing the real Santa Claus or he's playing Santa Claus at the mall? Because I don't know. Nick Frost to me seems more like the Santa Claus at the mall.
Oh, man. That would be an awesome way to go with it. I would much rather have it be mall Santa Claus or maybe Santa Claus on the corner ringing a bell. I think that would make a lot of sense. And I'm really hoping that is what it turns into.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking like he just seems to play that type of character. You know, maybe he would be like a down on his luck guy who has to dress up as Santa Claus at Christmas just to get by and somehow hooks up with a doctor and he goes on some kind of an adventure. You know, it's kind of like the idea of the Lodger type of idea where he kind of meets this down on his luck guy.
Oh, man, if this takes a Lodger spin and it's a Christmas special, this would be one of my favorite Christmas specials by far.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, he's met Robin Hood and Robin Hood's real. Is he going to meet Santa Claus and find out Santa Claus is real in the same season? Probably not. So I'm thinking this is more, you know, regular guy dresses up as Santa Claus. That's going to be my guess. You can, we'll see if it comes true or not.
I'll take it. And lest we forget about the previous Doctor, not really related to Doctor Who anymore, other than just feeding the fan frenzy that is still Matt Smith. We have a rumor that he's going to be in a new movie, not only Terminator, but he's also going to be in the wonderful fiction book called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which is being turned into a movie. And I believe he's cast as Mr. Darcy, if I remember correctly. How do you feel about our good old friend Matt Smith showing up in yet another movie?
This one is a little bit weird for me. The idea of him being cast in Terminator, I was like, okay, that's probably a good move for him. You know, it's a big franchise type movie, you know, possibly something that would become, you know, a big blockbuster film that he can really, you know, get his face out there and kind of maybe jumpstart his film career. But this one seems a little bit more of an odd choice for him. I mean, the idea of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, you know, it's kind of a cool idea. I know the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter novel was pretty popular. I know this novel is popular as well. But the Abraham Lincoln Vampire movie sucked. And I loved the book. Like, I really loved the novel. It was one of my favorite reads of the past few years. But the movie just didn't live up to it. I don't know if that's any indication how, you know, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies is going to be on screen. Maybe they knock it out of the park, but this one, I'm not so sure about his choice to join this film.
Yeah, I don't know either. And just to make sure that I have my rumors or my casting correct, he's not Mr. Darcy. He's Mr. Collins, a vicar in search of a wife who proposes to a martial arts trained Elizabeth Bennet. I've read a couple chapters from the book and it was interesting. Zombies, though, on film, it feels like there's been way too many comedic approaches to zombies at this point in time. I'm not too sure how this one's going to turn out, and I don't know if this is necessarily the right path for Matt Smith to take right now. On the flip side, it does have the potential to be a huge movie. There's just something about it that feels like it could be huge. But then on the other side of it, it definitely could be just a huge bust.
Yeah, we'll see how this guy's film career turns out. I really hope he does well. I know he's shown up in some films, but he hasn't really ever played a major role in a big Hollywood production yet. Not that I can think of. Maybe I'm missing something. But he seems to kind of be playing in some of these smaller movies or small parts. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he can ever kind of get to that point where he's more of an A-list star. But so next episode is coming up after Time Heist, which is the one we're going to be reviewing in a few minutes, is called The Caretaker. And they have released a trailer for that. There's also been a lot of images released from that. What are your first thoughts on this one? Does this look like an episode that you're going to enjoy? We got Clara trying to jump back and forth between, you know, Danny Pink and the Doctor, and there's some kind of robot.
I hesitate to say what I want to say about this episode just because I've already said it about Robots of Sherwood, and I was extremely pleasantly surprised. We have hit our fifth episode and things are still going really, really strong. But seeing the preview for this episode and then even seeing the robot design, I don't want to think this. I'm afraid this might be our first lull that we hit with series 8 of Doctor Who.
Yeah, the robot looks cheesy to me. But most bad guys in Doctor Who do, so that's normal. But yeah, that when I saw the robot, it almost looks like a remote control robot or something. Like nothing that menacing. But I kind of like the idea of the story. I like the idea of the Doctor going undercover, I guess, maybe at the school that Clara works at, you know, using the name John Smith. You know, we've heard that before. He's even used that at a school before, just not as a janitor.
Right.
So yeah, I kind of like this idea of Clara kind of jumping back and forth from, you know, her life with her, you know, it seems like he's her boyfriend now. I don't know if they're like official, but you know, he's starting to get suspicious and then she jumps to the Doctor and it almost seems like the Doctor might be a little bit jealous of her time, you know, because he's wanting her to travel with him. So I'm looking forward to seeing the dynamic between Danny Pink and the Doctor and Clara and how that all works out. That part of it looks interesting to me. The robot part of it, I don't know about that. That looks a little weird.
I agree. The preview where it shows her kind of jumping back and forth, being exhausted, saying that she can't do this, Danny Pink getting he's starting to notice something's up. That does look interesting. But then as soon as it shows the robot, I'm not too sure of it. One theory that I have on that, though, is I'm wondering if this might be a robot that the Doctor built to help him be the caretaker for the school. And then it goes haywire. I'm wondering if that explains why it just looks like a funky design and not necessarily something, I don't know. It doesn't look right. So for something about it doesn't look right, but that's my theory that it's a doctor or a robot that the Doctor built to help upkeep the school and something goes awry.
Interesting. Did you look at the images that they released, like the official images?
I did look at the images.
Anything stick out to you? We got the Doctor. Looks like he's wearing his sparkly shirt again.
He does have a different episode or a different outfit. That's what the words I'm looking for. He has a pretty sweet watch and I like his brown overcoat.
Yeah, the brown overcoat. I couldn't tell if that was part of his like janitor's uniform and he just happens to have it unbuttoned and they kind of made it look cool. Or if that's going to be like a permanent fixture that he might wear from time to time.
Yeah, one other thing that stuck out to me is it looks like in one of the stills that he's wearing a Ghostbuster backpack, which kind of goes with the overcoat.
They have kind of a hero shot of Danny Pink. He looks pretty cool. Nice tie, nice jacket.
Tie's too short.
It's right there. Yeah, it is too short because he's not even standing up straight.
No, it wouldn't touch his belt.
And then we have Danny. You mentioned the Doctor's watch. They show him kind of, you know, looks like he's doing something with the watch. Like, you think that's going to play a part in the episode?
It has to. They have a screenshot of it. they put it front and center on the poster.
That's not always a good indication, but right. I see what you're saying. Yeah, they even have a still of him like walking into the school and he's got his hand on the watch. So I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, it's the remote control for the robot. There you go.
Okay. Well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. There's some elements that I think might look a little weird, but overall it looks like it'll be a fun, maybe kind of a character-driven episode about these people and how they all interact. So looks good.
It will definitely be interesting. We'll see. We're only 3 days, 12 hours away from it, I think. Something like that.
Something like that. All right, so Time Heist. Series 8, Episode 5, writer Stephen Thompson and Stephen Moffat, director Douglas McKinnon. So yeah, interesting episode. We have, it kind of starts out a little, well, I guess we get kind of the way that a lot of these episodes seem to be starting right now. The Doctor trying to get Clara to go with him somewhere, and she's got a date with Danny Pink again, apparently. So.
And Danny Pink invited her on the date by sounding like he was mocking Yoda.
Oh.
Sentence structure.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really pick up on that. You would think I would have. But yeah, so the Doctor, you know, we get our normal, he's trying to get Clara to go with him, and then he's making fun of Clara, like the way she looks, which, you know, I think is still kind of funny, but it's starting to get a little old.
I don't know. It's new each time, so I think it's kind of funny about
I think it's
why
gonna
is
be...
your face colored in. I thought that was funny.
I think it's going to be an ongoing thing with them, that pretty much every episode he's going to make some kind of comment on how she looks or how she doesn't look or why she's so vain or those type of things.
Yeah, it's a fun dynamic. He's an old guy. She's not an old person, and she's dating, and he's jealous over time. So it makes sense.
But yeah, so right as Claire is about to leave and about to, you know, get out of there before the doctor whisks her away, they get a phone call on the TARDIS phone.
And yeah.
That's really what kind of kicks off the story, where he gets this call, and then next thing you know, they're in this room. And yeah, so that was, what do you think about kind of how the episode started? Did that work for you to get you interested?
Yeah, it definitely got me interested. The mysterious phone call. And the kind of the mention, kind of what he says as far as very, very few people have that number. So who could be calling the TARDIS phone? He does mention the mysterious shopkeeper that first brought Clara and Matt Smith together, which is really the only reference in this episode that we have. No Missy, no Paradise, no Promised Land. Nobody dies and reappears, but we do have a reference to the mysterious shopkeeper. So that was one thing that I thought was interesting with this. I really liked the beginning of the episode, though, and I really like what happens after he answers the phone. It completely caught me by surprise, and I thought it was, I felt like I was trying to recover from that the rest of the episode, but not in a bad way. It felt like I was enjoying trying to catch up to where we were.
Yeah, when they get to the room and they've all lost their memory because they, you know, because
memory worms are back.
Memory worms are back. And then they have the case and the voice and all of that. I was starting to roll my eyes pretty early on in this episode.
Seriously?
Yeah, just that was kind of like so tropey. Like, it just seemed like it's been done so many times. The mysterious guy where his voice is modulated and, you know, a bank heist and all of this stuff. It just didn't seem very Doctor Who for me. So I was like, I wasn't buying in right away. I'm not saying that I didn't eventually buy in, but initially I was having my doubts on if I was going to like this episode or not.
Okay. So, yeah. So after they're in the room, their memories are wiped. They're all trying to figure out who each other are because we get introduced to two brand new characters. We have Sai, who is our, everything said leading up to it was our gamer, which I thought was hilarious. We had our gamer, and then we had Sabra, who was our shape-shifting human. First gut reaction to those characters, no longer just instills, what did you think of those characters getting started?
I was still kind of, I was questioning the episode, like, from the beginning. So even when they first introduced those two characters, it was kind of like, nothing about them seemed that interesting to me. I was curious to see what they're going to do with the shapeshifter, but yeah, still wasn't buying into it, man.
Nice. So the room that they're in, that they're told that they're going to rob this bank, most secure bank in all the world. If you have the money to buy a solar system, that's where you store your stuff. No one really knows why they're in the room. No one knows why they're going to rob the bank. But I thought it was really interesting that the doctor, kind of throughout the entire episode, reminds them that this is something they agreed to. I thought that was a really cool part of it. They're not doing it against their will. They originally agreed to it, even though they have no idea why they're doing this now. But the room they're in, people try to get into it, guys that are trying to do them harm. So they take off running.
Yeah. And I like how he explained to them, like, think of the thing you want most in the world. And that's probably what we're after. You know, that was an interesting thing for him to say. And it was starting to pique my interest. Like, okay, yeah, why would the doctor, you know, of all people, why would the doctor agree to rob a bank. You know, there must be some big thing going on here because the Doctor has more important things to do with his time than rob a bank. So whatever's going on, it's going to be something important. So I was starting at this point, I'm starting to like, okay, you know, I see what's happening here. I think part of the problem for me was, you know, the idea of this bank that's, you know, completely impenetrable, but it really wasn't. I mean, as they're going through the bank and, you know, the ways that they were getting around and, you know, he blows up the floor and stuff and they fall through it. It just didn't seem like a very high security bank at all. Like, where was the security? Where were the guards? Where was the, you know, I don't know. It shouldn't be easy to break through a vault floor and walk into the inner workings of the most secure bank in the galaxy.
Yeah, there's... I was going to save it till the end, but there were some definite lapses in logic, I guess, for me, or major plot holes that I still haven't quite wrapped my mind around. One big one that I will save till the end. But I agree. Like, the most impenetrable bank... And yet there's stuff stashed all over the place to help them along their journey. It takes one simple shapeshifter to kind of get past the initial phases of what could go wrong. And they're able to get in no problem. I don't know how common shapeshifting is in the Doctor Who universe, but it must have not been that hard if he was able to track one down and have them a part of the team. So it was, yeah, it's interesting. They're definitely major logic. That said, I still enjoyed the story. We did get introduced to the teller, which there was some discussion last episode as far as who the teller was, and it does end up to being the quote-unquote prisoner in chains.
Yes, the one where I was so sure of myself. Like, Adam, you're wrong. Why would the teller be in chains? But I will say this, they tricked us. Because if you have a bank and you have a teller at a bank, usually you think of this as somebody who works behind a desk. But they were kind of, it was a play on words because he wasn't a teller, like a bank teller. He was more a teller, like he could tell if you were guilty. So I don't know if, you know, that to me was a little bit of a misdirect, which, you know, that's fine. I don't mind being misdirected, but yeah, that was interesting.
What did you think of the teller character?
I didn't like the design of the alien. I didn't like the big eye stalks. I mean, it was a guy in a suit, you know, which is, I think they actually explained that in this episode, they purposely went with the man in the suit type alien as opposed to a CGI alien to save money. So they could use more of the CGI on the world, like how the world looked, which I appreciate that. But wasn't a huge fan of the design, the way that the eyes actually came together when he was doing his whole brain melting thing. Yeah, it just didn't really work for me.
I have to ask, how many times did you watch this episode?
I watched this episode twice.
Ah, you're killing me.
Hey, I haven't gotten to the end yet. You will find out. My mind slowly changes as the episode goes along, but we're still pretty early on here.
What, but the teller, I was impressed by how well that character design was. It wasn't something goofy like a Zygon. It wasn't Strax. It wasn't a Slitheen. It looked legitimate. It looked scary. It potentially could have been kind of the Minotaur from the God Complex. It had good quality to it. And yeah, it was just some dude in a suit, but they made the dude in the suit look really, really good. I'm surprised kind of that you went the other way with it. That surprises me right there. I thought the teller was truly cool looking within the episode.
Nope. Wasn't a fan. I like the idea of the teller and what he did. I did not like the way he looked. He did not look. It didn't do it for me. Kind of like the way that the Zygon looked, just like a big Muppety kind of character. And that's kind of the same feeling I got from this one. So,
to me, they look entirely different. The Zygon was like big, rubbery, and weird looking, and the teller actually looked pretty pretty ferocious until they took his suit off at the end. And it was like, nope, you lost me there. But while he was still wrapped in chains, he looked pretty mean.
So we have the kind of the main, I guess, bad guy of the episode would be Miss Delphox, which was kind of, you know, the big news of Keeley Halls being the actress to play her. How did you feel about this character?
Yeah, I really liked the character. I liked it even more at the end of the episode, when kind of the whole thing was exposed. But I kind of liked how cold she was, how heartless, kind of the... Yeah, she was really removed from everything that was going on, kind of just down to business, let's get things taken care of. But yet very classy at the same time, very 50s-ish, I guess. I really liked her at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I liked the character too. I thought that was one of the stronger points of the episode, the casting of her. I can now see why people were so excited that she got cast, because she did a really good job and an interesting character. You know, you were kind of alluding to what happens at the end, which I guess we'll get to. But yeah, I liked her very much as a character.
Yeah, so the experience of the characters, which I thought was funny, that after, so the teller's released, Miss Delphox walks him out, the teller can sense guilt and thought and all sorts of other stuff. And so we're kind of led to believe, okay, the team is doomed, but there just so happens to be someone else in the courtyard that's more guilty than the entire team, since because the team's memory got wiped, they have no reason what they're doing. So their guilt isn't all that big right now, which I thought was a really, really cool aspect of the show, that the fact that they didn't have memories kind of helped them as they were moving along. And we see the teller can turn brains into what the doctor calls soup. The guy wasn't in terror and agony. That tear on his face was actually soup, which I thought was kind of funny in a grotesque kind of way. And then we see the guy's head cave in, which was gruesome. What did you think about that part when he turned sideways and his head is caved in?
Doctor Who is too scary for kids.
No,
I was grossed out by it. I was like, ugh. Like, I don't like to see deformed human heads. You know, that was gross. And I'm like, okay, I get if your head turns the soup, or if your brain turns the soup, you know, I get the whole like soup coming out of your eye, but I don't get why your cave or your head or your skull would cave in.
Yeah.
So I guess that's part of the process. He's not only turning your brain to soup, but he's also disintegrating your skull as well. But yeah, that was kind of a gross out moment.
Yeah, definitely.
That's, and it does add some, you know, scariness to that monster. If I wasn't scared of him before because of how goofy he looked, I am now scared of him because he can melt my brain.
Exactly. And yeah, I agree. The whole eyes coming together and like shockwaves coming out of his eyes, that was kind of goofy. But as you mentioned, it was terrifying what he could do.
And you were right on a couple points. You were right on the fact that the teller was the monster. So bravo.
Thank you.
And you were also right that the shapeshifter character was going to die. Or at least that was your prediction, because that was the first one to bite the dust as they're running through this, you know, bank and trying to get where they're going. The, you know, the teller is released into the bank to find them, and actually, I guess they run into the teller and it starts to do its whole brain thing, and the one that gets caught in it is the shapeshifter.
Yeah, which Claire was caught first. And I'm still trying to work through how she was able to escape. But
she had to clear her brain.
She had to clear her brain, which I still don't quite understand.
Which I didn't know if they were implying that, like, she's not that smart. Like, you know, she's, you know, she can just kind of, you know, make her brain go blank. But yeah, that was kind of an interesting, you know, they're not going to kill off the companion. So
right,
it makes
right.
sense that she made it out. But yeah, the fact that the doctor told her to clear her brain and it worked. Yeah, that was a little,
So, yeah, so the shapeshifter gets locked onto a little bit earlier on, they found a briefcase that was filled with what they referred to as shredders. So the doctor tosses one to her because she knew that the doctor was lying, that it wasn't. I forgot what the doctor said it was. Oh, that he didn't know what it was. So she said, I know you're lying. He tossed her. She pulls the trigger and she obliterates herself. Then the doctor takes off.
Right. So.
And then the teller's released into the bank and then everything goes haywire from there.
But yeah, so we lose the shapeshifter. I guess we can talk about it. She didn't really die. Because the doctor knew all along that that wasn't going to kill her, but actually going to teleport her, or did he not know at that point that it would teleport her?
He didn't know. He didn't know at that point, which I think is one of the strong points about this episode is everything is basically a mystery. No one knows why anything's happening. No one even knows why they're there, and no one knows kind of who's been directing them, the architect, who's been directing them throughout the entire bank. They're slowly figuring things out as they go, but more and more they're figuring out that they just hate the architect and wondering why in the world they agreed to this. To the point where before the shapeshifter dies, she tells the doctor to kill the architect, and the doctor says, I hate him. But I can't make that promise. And she says, a good man. Which is interesting that of all characters that's called a good man, we have the one character who struggled over the past five episodes whether or not he was a good man. So that really stuck out to me. But yeah, he doesn't know what that is. He just knows it's the easy, painless way out and her brain won't be made soup. It will be a second of pain and then it's over.
And Sai meets a similar fate where he ends up having to... He basically saves Clara's life because the teller is coming after her again. And he, you know, basically says... He tempts the teller away from her basically by saying, hey, I have all this information in my brain on, you know, the guiltiest people of all time. So come and get me.
Heck yes. Heck yes, he does.
Yeah. So you like that heroic moment?
I like Sai. Sai to me just was a cool character altogether. I don't know. I feel like I'm being very fanboy this episode because you haven't supported me in how much I've enjoyed this episode just yet. But yeah, I really liked that character. I really liked what he was able to do. I liked how in a interaction between him and Clara, he talks about how he cleared all of his memories of all his loved ones because he was in prison and being interrogated. And so he just willingly just cleared everything in his memory banks about anybody and everybody that he loved. So yeah, that heroic moment where Claire is locked onto again, which why she keeps on getting tracked down by the teller. I have no idea what type of guilt she's holding that it just finds her over everybody else. So he downloads from the databanks all the people that have been guiltiest throughout time, which there were some Easter eggs in there, one that you pointed out for sure. But he downloads it and then he just makes that comment as far as when your life flashes before your eyes, do you see everybody that you love? And then he says, because I see no one. And then he uses the shredder on himself and gets vaporized, and then we find out that he wasn't really vaporized.
Right. I mean, I get what you're talking about. I liked him as a character as well, and I liked this heroic moment for him. He seemed like a pretty cool guy. And this is kind of the part where the show starts to get interesting, or this episode starts to get interesting for me, is when the doctor and Clara finally get into the vault because of the electrical storm or whatever's going on the surface allows them to get into the vault, and you kind of get the reveal that whoever sent them there knew the exact timing that this was going to happen, you know, so there was some sort of a, you know, time travel element, or, you know, whoever was talking to them was obviously talking to them from the future, which I thought was kind of cool. But once they get into the vault and start finding the different items that they were there to take, that's when it was kind of like, okay, Sai, they found what they were supposed to get for him, which would allow him to, you know, get his memories back, which you can see why that would be something so important to him that he would, you know, take on a challenge like this. And then the same thing for the shapeshifter, you know, where she would be able to have this gene manipulation where she wouldn't have to deal with the shapeshifting every time she touches someone. So yeah, that was, you know, it's starting to get interesting to me at this point. I like where it's going, and I'm really curious now to find out, okay, now we know why Psy came, we know why the shapeshifter came. So why did the doctor come?
Right. And that they look at the card that they had to show where everything was, and it just says PV, so private vault. So whatever thereafter is going to be in the private vault of Carabraxis, himself, herself, it's going to be in that room. So they go there. What was your reaction when they turned the corner and found the teller there? Did you jump? You didn't jump?
I didn't jump. No.
How could you not jump?
Because he's not scary to me. He's a big Muppet.
Oh, come on. He is a ferocious Muppet who can melt your brain into soup.
It sounds like a t-shirt that we should make.
I jumped. I have to be honest. Like, when the doctor turned the corner and there he was, I, no lie, went in my living room by myself. I went because there was the teller. I was looking for some camaraderie tonight, and I'm left hanging by myself.
Sorry, man. But I was surprised, and I did like the twist when they did finally reveal that, you know, we think the doctor's been caught with Clara, and then the guards are actually Psy and what's her name? I can't remember the girl's name. I keep calling her the shapeshifter. I feel bad that I'm not saying her actual name. What's her
Sabra?
Name? Sabra. So we find out that the guards were actually Sabra and Psy in disguise. And then I had this moment of like, oh, good, because I felt really bad that they both died the way that they did, you know? And so I was really happy that they were both alive. And then the reveal that they weren't actually, you know, committing suicide to avoid getting killed by the teller. They were teleporting. They didn't know they were going to teleport, but they teleported, which I thought was kind of a cool idea. And then this starts to unravel where you're realizing, you know, that they were actually where the TARDIS was and all of that too. So
yeah, and this, that whole reveal is awesome, where Miss Delphox basically tells them to kill him, and so the guards start pushing him against the wall, and the doctor's like, you don't understand, I've had a really bad day. And the guard's like, you're really slow, aren't you? And then it turns into Sabra, and it's like, ah, oh, and there is that big moment of just like relief. And everybody, like, again, I might just be reading into it. I might have just laid aside way too much of my reality check on this one, but it seemed like legitimate joy. Like, everybody was really happy, and I was really happy too, when they found out that the shredder wasn't actually a shredder, it was a teleporter. But the TARDIS was there, like you said.
Right. And you're starting to kind of figure it out at this point. And I'm really liking the way the story's going here. You know, I didn't necessarily like the way it started, and I didn't like, you know, them going through the bank. That wasn't what was good about this story. It was kind of the twists and surprises and kind of just the cleverness of how it all came, you know, how it all ended up. I that's really what I enjoyed about it.
Very, very clever.
Yeah, very clever indeed. So we get the part where they actually, now they're all together, and they get to the private vault where we find, I guess, kind of the head bad guy, which was Miss Carabraxos. So I didn't realize the planet was named after somebody.
Yeah, I think it was the bank, maybe.
Okay, so it's not the planet Carabraxos, but just the bank?
Yeah, the Bank of Carabraxis, which I was thinking it was a planet too until this point in time. And then it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, so we get her, and then it's like, oh, okay, she's the same. You know, she looks like Miss Delphox, and we figure out that the people that work at the banks, or the, I guess the, I forget what they called them, were they administrators?
Yeah, yep.
At the banks were actually just clones of her, of Miss Carabraxos. And they were completely disposable to her. So anytime, you know, you had throughout the episode, every time Miss Delphox talked about getting fired, she talked about how painful it would be. And now we know why, because, you know, we actually see her dispose of her clone, and Miss Delphox meets her end in a...
Yeah, and being fired actually involves being fired.
Fired, yeah. It's incinerated, so that's... Yeah, maybe it's not for kids.
There's quite a few elements in there, if you think about it.
Smashed in heads, people getting incinerated.
You know.
You know, kid stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was kind of, you know, another twist that I enjoyed. You know, I didn't expect that one either. And so that was kind of cool.
So we find out that Miss Delphox is actually a clone of Miss Carabraxis. And it goes back to the statement that the Doctor heard the shapeshifter Sabra say early on, where she didn't like being a shapeshifter because she was tired of always looking back, because no one liked to look back into the eyes of themselves. So the Doctor is starting to process things in his mind as far as the Architect, how much he hates the Architect. Miss Carabraxis hates Miss Delphox. Miss Delphox hates Miss Carabraxis because they are the same person. And one thinks the other is disposable, what have you. So the Doctor's starting to process through everything, and things are starting to click to the point where he starts to do things that doesn't really seem like it makes sense. The bank is getting ready to collapse. The storm is getting worse. The planet's going to be destroyed, or at least the bank is. So he tells Miss Carabraxis to go ahead and just flee, gather up whatever she can in a bag and take off. And in doing so, he writes the phone number for the TARDIS on a piece of paper and says, "You're going to need this later on."
Right. Which is like so cool, because this is where it gets really timey-wimey, and I love timey-wimey in Doctor Who. So this is where it gets really cool. He's starting to realize that he's starting to unravel everything. He's not getting his memories back, but just because he's the smartest guy in the room, he's starting to figure things out. So he tells her to give him a call, and he kind of does it in like a really funny, like flirtatious sort of way, which I found entertaining. But he tells her, give him a call. He does the whole, like, he holds his fingers up to his ears, you know,
yeah.
And then she flees. And then he actually purposely has the teller start to, you know, melt his brain, I guess. And I guess in a way that he's trying to regain his memories.
Right. So the memory worm, I guess, doesn't necessarily do away with all your memories. It puts up blocks so you can't access the memories. So what he's wanting the teller do is basically go through his entire mind, all his memories. He has a lot there, and hopes that the teller will override or get rid of the block that's keeping him from remembering what's going on. Because they also realize that instead of just four teleporters, they had six teleporters. Well, why would they need six if there were only four of them? So in having the teller read his mind, the Doctor remembers everything, realizing that he's the one that established the team. He's the Architect that has basically planned out everything. He's the one that's been stashing stuff all around the bank. He's the one that has figured everything out. All for the one special thing that he wanted to rob the bank for, which just so happens to be, drum roll please, another teller.
Yes, another teller. But before we talk about that, what did you think about the lines that he said while he's getting his brain scanned about his outfits?
Yes.
I love my favorite lines so far, I think, in the series, and actually made me laugh out loud, was he says something about the scarf. So, you know, he's referring to the fourth Doctor.
Yep.
Then he says something about the bow tie and how embarrassing it is, which I thought was hilarious, because that's completely something that, you know, this Doctor...
bow ties are cool.
If this Doctor ever met the 11th Doctor, I think he would probably tell him that his bow tie was embarrassing. So that was funny. And then he talks about his current outfit and how he was going for minimalist, but ended up being more magician, which I thought was great, because that was, you know, some of the early comments on when they revealed his costume were how he looked kind of like a magician. So I don't know if this was a purposeful kind of call out to that, or maybe that this script was written well before that type of feedback, but I thought it was hilarious, because I thought the same thing when I first saw the Doctor's outfit.
Completely agreed. I I paused the episode at that point, and my wife was sitting next to me, and I said, did you hear what he just said? He said a magician. And then I ended up going through all the conversations we had leading up where we went back and forth as to whether or not he looked like a magician in some of the earliest pictures that we saw. I have to think that even if this episode was written, they're doing such a great job, or at least I don't know if you would consider it a great job, but they seem to be referencing anything and everything that came up during the off season, be it about his age, be it about the Pompeii story, or even his outfit now. I think they're just adding these things in as tongue in cheek. We're just going to throw it out there. We're going to have fun with the fans. And I really appreciate that, especially this one. That was just funny to have him bring up during what was happening with the teller.
Yeah. So back to the alien in the closet. So yeah.
I don't know if you meant to do that, but that was really funny. Like skeleton in the closet, but an alien in the closet, you know, which now what you said at the start of the episode about it having a monster in my closet makes a lot more sense.
You didn't make that connection when I said that?
No, I didn't. I was kind of lost, and that's why I brought up the monster under the bed. But now I made the connection and I feel like a fool.
Yeah, so we find out there is another teller. He's not the last of his species, which is what we were led to believe. And now his girlfriend has been found. So I guess that's the reason why the doctor came back, because basically the phone call that he got was the Miss Carabraxos kind of regretting what she's done and letting him know to go there and rescue this species. And he's not only saving one individual. Essentially, by saving this other individual, he's saving an entire race, an entire species, which is what the doctor does.
Right. And this is a conundrum that I've still yet to put to rest in my mind. He received a phone call before he ever gave the phone number. And no matter how you look at it, or at least no matter how I've looked at it, I can't figure out how she got his phone number without him already saving the tellers. Does that even make sense to you? Or am I missing something along this way as far as how she got his phone number?
Well, I think that's a common time travel problem when you have these type of things. You know, it was in Terminator, you know, where you have the, you know, John Connor, the guy goes back to save John Connor, but then he actually fathers John Connor. So like he wouldn't have ever gone back unless he had already fathered him, but he shouldn't have been able to father him because he never should have gone back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
there's always that, you know, when you tell time travel stories, there's this paradox element of it. But I think the way that Doctor Who has always kind of explained it away, because this isn't the first time, you know, obviously, that this type of thing has happened in Doctor Who. I mean, just go back to the episodes with, you know, he's in the Pandorica. There's a lot of that type of time travel jumping from here to there. And, you know, and a lot of that doesn't make sense either, because this wouldn't have happened unless he had done it, you know, that kind of thing. So it's timey-wimey. And that's just really, that's always going to be the explanation in Doctor Who. It doesn't make logical sense, but it's timey-wimey. And we're not really meant to understand it, but it's really cool still. It's still really cool that's the way it happened. You know, the fact that he gave her the telephone number because he knew that she was going to call him. You know, I like it. I get that it doesn't necessarily make sense, but I still like it.
I'm cool with it. It was a great episode. It was just the one thing, like, you were getting hung up about the characters, about the costumes. I was sold on all of it until I got to that point. And then it was like, oh, what just happened? How did that work? I don't understand it. But up to that point, I thought everything was great.
Yeah. And it sounds like we both kind of had of it. We both liked the episode a lot, but for different reasons. But yeah, so it was a nice ending there. You know, it made sense that the doctor would go out of his way and have his memory wiped and go through all this trouble to save an entire species. That makes sense to me. He wasn't the there just to currency. Steal something or, you know, some device or whatever. It was, you know, he's saving a planet or a species, which was nice. And they all got to go on the TARDIS and eat some Chinese food and take them back home.
And everybody lives.
Everybody lives, Rose.
Everybody lives.
So nobody gets to meet Missy.
Nope, no one met Missy. All of that was completely absent. And in the end, the Doctor takes Clara back for the date, and he basically says he's going to rob another bank.
Is that what he said?
No, but he said that robbing a bank was better than a date.
Oh, right. And she did. Yeah, she agreed, I think. How do you... That's the thing. I mean, when you're traveling with the Doctor, how do you go back to Danny Pink and not feel like a little underwhelmed? That's the problem with these guys, these poor guys that are dating these companions. They have no chance. You just can't live up to that.
See, I think this just goes to show that it helps balance things out. When you have someone as bombastic as the Doctor, you need someone like Danny Pink to come home to at the end of the day.
Poor Danny Pink. That just sounds so sad. It's like, oh, I've been around this guy that's so amazing that I can barely handle it, so I'll come back to you because you're boring.
I don't know. I'm Danny Pink. I'm that boring person. Aren't we all?
Yep. But yeah, so I mean, overall, good episode. It came around for me. It started out a little slow. Wasn't really sold on the whole heist idea, but then when they kind of explained why they were doing it, and the characters kind of got a little bit more developed, and I liked the twists, and I liked kind of the ending, the timey-wimey, you know, thing with the phone number and all that. By the end of it, I was sold. Not my favorite episode of the season, but I liked it.
I'm with you. Definitely liked it. I liked just kind of the clever approach, the memory wipe, the mysteries that were slowly unveiled throughout it, the very surprise pre-ending where the two dead characters come back to life. I really like the characters. I like the teller. I really liked this episode. It wasn't a low point of the season. I'm still waiting for that low point, which I've already said Caretaker is probably going to be that for me, but we'll see. It probably won't be now. I wouldn't say it's my favorite episode of the season, but I would say that it's not the low point of the season either.
Right. I agree. And there hasn't been a bad episode yet. And that's really encouraging. There's already been, we're 5 episodes in. I think there's only 7 episodes left. So we're getting close to the halfway point.
Yeah.
And there, in my opinion, and I think you agree, there hasn't really been a bad episode. They haven't all been perfect, but they've all been pretty good.
Yeah. And
I don't think we could say that. I challenge you to go back to any season of Doctor Who, at least in the modern series, and watch the first 5 episodes of that season and say all 5 were good.
I completely agree. Just thinking back through some of the seasons, season 6 with the 11th Hour, for me, that got off to a really strong start. And then we hit Curse of the Black Spot.
Ooh, that one was rough.
Yeah, it took this plummet for me. And I'm with you. Like, it seems like in past seasons, you would go 2 or 3 episodes and it would be really strong. And then you'd hit a 4th or a 5th that just, it was like, okay, I need another 2 good episodes to remind me why I enjoy Doctor Who, because that was bad. So far, we haven't hit that spot yet. And another thing is they're doing a really good job of hiding key points. In past seasons, it seems like we knew everything about the episode before the episode showed. And yet with these episodes, we're still hitting things that are surprises as we go through them. Not everything's been revealed. There's still secrets, even about some of the characters that are like, oh, that's a big character. Usually, you know, everything that happens to that character, they are still hiding things from us. It's been a fairly spoiler free season, which is amazing.
Yeah. They even like had a misdirect in the credits for the episode. They didn't credit Keeley Halls as being Miss Carabraxos. They credited her as being just Miss Delphox. So, you know, even things like that, they're purposely trying to misdirect even in the credits. But yeah, good season. I mean, great season so far. And I couldn't be more than happy than how things are going right now with Capaldi. And if this is the future of Doctor Who, if this is what we have to look forward to, I'm on board. I don't know if everybody else is, but I'm on board with this. I think he's been a very entertaining Doctor, and I love the writing and the storytelling that's going on so far in these first 5 episodes. And I'm really excited just to see where they take it. I have yet to be disappointed.
I'm right there with you. All tops, even with our older Doctor.
All right. Well, As usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. Did you have anything else you want to say, Adam?
Nah,
You
we
do.
can
You have
roll.
something.
No, I have nothing.
Okay.
I have nothing.
All right. I thought it sounded like you had something. I guess now that we've stopped, I will.
I have guilt, and you're the teller. You're reading it. No.
It is probably good to point out at least the kind of the little cameos that they gave us on that wall of criminals. There's a couple notable things that kind of stuck out there. First of all, we had a Censorite, which we thought we'd never see them again.
Right.
And it flashed by so fast that you probably wouldn't even catch it. I didn't catch it on my first viewing. I actually didn't notice until I had read, more into it that there was some Easter eggs on there. But the one that kind of stuck out to me was they actually, well, there's two other ones. They actually had a character that was in the comics, Doctor Who comics from like the 1980s, who they flashed up on the screen.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Which I think that's really awesome. For fans that read the comics or read the novels or listen to the audiobooks, anytime there's a nod from the actual canon TV Doctor Who to some of these fringe elements, I think that's really cool. So I thought that was pretty awesome that they did that. And then there was also a character from Torchwood that showed up on that list as well, which I thought was cool. Which what was his name? Captain
John Hart.
John Hart. Which I don't think you didn't watch Torchwood, right?
I've made it through like 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay, yeah. So neither of us are big, huge Torchwood experts or anything. And I'm sure there's people that listen to this show that are like, "How did you not know his name?" But yeah, just, I didn't know who he was, but I recognize the actor who plays him, because he's in a lot of stuff. But yeah, so that was kind of cool nods to Torchwood, a cool nod to comic book fans, and cool nod to the Censorite fans out there. So I did, like Bonnie Burton.
But, all three of you.
Me, you, and Bonnie Burton.
Yes.
But so I just wanted to mention that. But back to the wrap up here. As usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. If you like the show, check it out on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. That would be awesome. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast. Still getting a lot of great feedback on Twitter. Love it. Every time I talk about Twitter, I want to give certain people a shout out, and I can't remember the names. So I know there's some people recently that have specifically been sharing our show, and I really appreciate you guys. We're on Facebook. Check us out there. Search for Bad Wolf Radio, and we are the ones with the black and white logo. And you can send us feedback, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. We'd love to hear from you. And a side note, because I kind of forgot about this, but Bad Wolf Radio is actually going to be at a very small convention in the Philadelphia area called RetroCon. I will be there. Adam will not be, sadly.
I will not be.
But that is actually coming up this Saturday. So if you're listening to this, you probably only have like one day to plan to go to it. But if you do live in the Philadelphia / King of Prussia, Oaks, PA area, and you want to stop by RetroCon, it's a really small convention, but we'd love to see you if you want to stop by and say hi.
I wish I could go. It's going to be a fun time. And you have a booth. That's incredible. We have a booth.
We have a booth and we have pins. So I'm gonna
nice!
So I'm going to be handing out Bad Wolf pins so you can put a Bad Wolf thing right on your backpack or on your shirt or whatever. And
heck yes.
Show your Whovian fandom and also your Bad Wolf Radio fandom.
Heck yes.
All right. Well,
yeah, thanks. It's been fun. Later days.